All right, let's confess our sins so that we'll be in fellowship and the Holy Spirit can do His teaching ministry in us. Let us pray. Father, we pray that we would be attentive to this lesson as we listen to your voice inside of us as your Holy Spirit communicates his truth to us. Help us to remember these things and apply them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is lesson 18, Grace and Power at Work. If we were to summarize the purpose of this course, it would read like this. Our objective is to learn how to use the techniques that God specifies that enable us to get closer to Him, so we can draw on the assets that He makes available to empower us to live meaningful and productive lives. Based on this summary, here is a general outline for the Christian life. Number one, learn and apply the techniques from God's Word. Number two, get closer to God. Number three, draw on His assets and blessings. Number four, continually receive His grace and power to live clean and fruitful lives. Each of these steps carries provisions and conditions that we must meet. This may sound a little complicated, but I can assure you that God's grace methods are not complex. A child can learn them and follow them, but they are specific, and that is why we want to learn exactly where the mother lode for grace and power is. But first, we need to see what grace and power are. At this point, we are still on the topic of sin, so we want to understand grace and power as basic assets that can help us deal with sin. And we're going to begin this discussion with definitions from Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Grace is favor done freely without expectation of anything in return. So we can say this about grace. It's God's attitude toward man. God loves man, and grace enables those of us who believe in Him to have peace and fellowship with Him. Grace bridges the gap between divinity and humanity, and that bridge is Jesus Christ. Grace was expressed at the cross when Christ gave His life for our sins. Now grace is seen in what God provides for our lives as believers, both materially and spiritually. Power is the ability to act or produce an effect, or the possession of authority. God's power holds the universe together, from the most distant galaxies to the most minute quantum particles. That power is given to believers for righteous living for those who accept it, and efforts to live the Christian life without this power is equivalent to living in the flesh. It is by grace that we are given eternal life at salvation, and this grace is also the basis for receiving God's power during our temporal lives. We will see specific conditions for accepting grace and receiving power as believers. Without these, we are nothing and can achieve nothing. Grace and power will enable us to perform good deeds, overcome sin, testify to the resurrection of Christ, and serve God. In a nutshell, grace and power will allow us to do the following. The first is to become godly. Next, fulfill God's requirements. The next one is please God. And finally, exhibit the love and righteousness of God. The doing of these things will come from the great doer. That, of course, is God. God's grace operates by His power to become the means and opportunity for good living and divine service. When we trust God, we believe He has the power to do what needs to be done. Or as Paul put it, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's in 2 Corinthians 4:7. Paul believed that God is, quote, able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3:20. Peter said, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Peter 4:11. 2 Peter 1:3 sums it up like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. The power that comes through grace is all we need. This means that understanding it and acquiring it are absolutely crucial. So we want to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. And that is actually a quote from Ephesians 1:19. Understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. Grace and power are available to us. We see this in a number of verses. Permit me to read a few of these. I'll read through these. 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. Romans 15:15-16. I have written you boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:12, we have conducted ourselves in the world in the holiness and sincerity that are from God, not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. 2 Corinthians 6:7, we use truthfulness and the presence of God's power. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for to be sure, He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Likewise, we are in Him. Yet by God's power, we will live with Him to serve you. I'm going to read that verse again. This is 2 Corinthians 13:4. For to be sure, He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in Him. Yet by God's power, we will live with Him to serve you. Ephesians 3:7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Yet not I. This theme resonates throughout Paul's writings. Paul tried tirelessly to make it clear how grace and power work. The concepts of grace and power are foundational. We will see this progressively, how it works to help us overcome sin. And this will be especially true when we get into chapter 5. I just almost can't wait. All right, we have some questions. Number one, what are two qualities of God that get the work done? Number two, which of the following is the greatest source of power? Now, this is multiple choice. Number one, support groups. Number two, vitamins. Number three, self-discipline. Or four, God's grace. Question three, everything we need can be found in His divine blank. Other scriptures. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Job 36:22. God is exalted in power. Who is a teacher like Him? Acts 6:8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. So remember, the only worthwhile deeds we do are those done in God's power. And the only worthwhile lives we live are those lived by God's grace. Father, we thank you for this lesson on grace and your power. We pray that we would learn ways to access your grace and to live in your power so that you may be glorified in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.